Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. You're viewing out on our YouTube channel, the all-new BaltimorePositive.com. I got my El Guapo shirt on from over in Catonsville. Want to give a shout-out and say hola to our friends over there, Senior Evan Brown and all of our friends. We're going to get over there for some tequila and some quesadillas and some of those delicious tacos and all that good duck stuff that they have going on over there at El Guapo. Just want to give them a shout-out. But honestly, I'm going to wind up at State Fair this weekend with chicken and waffles. Luke Jones joins us now on the eve of all things Pittsburgh and Baltimore, where a handful of friends and family will be attending this week, as you will be attending in the WNST seat. I hope you have a nice box lunch. I'll be watching on TV, as I've been doing for a little while, and I guess Indianapolis and New England call, but nothing quite like this one, right? Like, it feels like about a minute ago that we talked about the Chiefs and saying, well, they won't get another opportunity to beat an elite team or to show what they're really made of as a 14-2 paper team that lost in the playoffs pretty quickly last year. This is the next challenge for them. Two losses on Monday, two games behind the Steelers, would be a very, very difficult position for them to be in, playing for second place the rest of the way.
Yeah, no question about it. And not to say that you would crown Pittsburgh at that point, but I think it's interesting. Since that Kansas City game, we've had a difficult time really trying to figure out what to make of the Ravens. And that's not to say they're not good. It's not to say they're not a playoff team. I mean, they're 5-1. Let's be very clear about that. We'll keep coming back to that. But is it 5-1 and they're the second best team in the league, the Kansas City, which I think is on the higher end of the optimism scale, obviously? Or is it 5-1 and since Kansas City, you've played Washington and you've played Cincinnati and you've played Philadelphia? I mean, not exactly a murderer's row of competitors. You know, maybe the Eagles get off the mat here in the NFC least, but I think three wins aside, and you never want to take those three wins for granted, especially with two of those being on the road, even though home field advantage isn't the same in 2020 as we normally think of it. But there is really a sense of, okay, we've talked about the offense not firing in the way that it did last year. They've been more middle of the pack overall. Is that because of the offensive line? Is that because of the play calling? Is that because of trying to evolve and grow as an offense? And we've even speculated about the possibility of almost experimenting, if you will. Not that you're joking around that you're going to lose a football game, but you might be able to call a little bit of a different game against the Washington or against the Cincinnati. Well, they're going to get a really good test on Sunday because Pittsburgh, they're 6-0, and you look at what they've done the last couple weeks. I mean, going to Nashville last week and beating the Titans and having a big lead on them. And even the week before, we joke about the Browns, but the Browns, you know, their record speaks for itself right now that they're at least they're not a doormat. So you kind of look at those two games, and I understand Pittsburgh hasn't exactly had a great strength of schedule other than the Tennessee game and Cleveland, if you want to throw them in there. So we're still trying to figure out about them as well. But this is the kind of game, if the Ravens truly are right there and just a notch below Kansas City and you want to chalk it up to a bad night in week three, then they should go out there and handle business on Sunday. If they don't, doesn't mean the AFC North's done. There's plenty of time and of course, a return bout on Thanksgiving night in Pittsburgh. But it does seem to validate more of the concerns that people seem to have about this football team in terms of the offense, in terms of the passing game, in terms of Lamar Jackson still being a top 10 caliber quarterback, which you kind of look at his whole body of work this year. And, you know, that would be an appropriate description, but certainly not being the MVP guy that he was a year ago. So I think we're going to learn a lot about these two teams on Sunday. Obviously, when you're talking about 6-0 versus 5-1, but I just think it's really exciting from the standpoint of this feels like it potentially the first time since the early part of last decade, you know, 2010, you know, I mean, of course, 2008, the AFC Championship, 2011, where it feels like both of these teams potentially could be Super Bowl caliber contenders, whereas they've had some battles since then, since 2011, but it's always felt like one team was, you know, either both teams were kind of that next tier down in the AFC, like 2014 comes to mind, or even a 2016 where Yeah, we all remember Antonio Brown and week 16 and the Immaculate Extension or whatever they like to call it up there in Pittsburgh. But it never really felt at that point like these were elite teams going at it. They were the two best teams in the AFC North going at it, but it wasn't quite what we're talking about this week, where potentially you're talking about two of the top four or five teams in the NFL going at it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. But I think for all of the concerns, relative as they may be for the Ravens, you go out and take care of business on Sunday, then everything feels good again, a whole again, and feels like they can get on a roll like they did last year after the bye week when, oh yeah, they beat an undefeated Patriots team on Sunday night in Baltimore.
All of our WNST coverage brought to you by our friends at Liberty Pure. I've been telling you about it. I got the mug. It's a better mug for me because it has less Rofo coffee. People say I get a little too caffeinated on the air here, but you can find them at 1-800-CLEAN-WATER. And of course, we'll be telling you more about them. They fix my water heater. They do well water. They do clean water. They do water treatment. Winter water coming your way. If you have some pipes and some rust and some stuff, let them handle it. They handle our work around here, Liberty Pure. Make sure you know about them. Also, Blondell Miller Schuler, my pal Mark Miller and I grew up on the east side. They've been doing things in Essex the right way, personal injury and workers' compensation. And just if you need a lawyer, you need some legal advice, you need to talk to somebody if you think you may have a case. No fees unless they win. Very easy to find them. DamnGoodLawyer.com and 410-687-7878. Todd Schuler joins us every week. We have a whole spot up on the website now, BaltimorePositive.com, for all of our sponsors, including Leonard Raskin, who gave us some good financial advice this week on the eve of the election. And certainly we hope everybody out there is voting, especially where Luke lives in Pennsylvania. Raskin Global, empowering people to choose their financial future for over 33 years. Leonard's up on the site. Telling you about things. I'm always telling you about ways to know more about your money and manage your money a little bit better. Leonard does that. He's at RaskinGlobal.com. Sometimes I'm wearing the blue shirt. Today I'm wearing the green El Guapo shirt from my pal Evan, and finally getting El Guapo open over there in Catonsville, where I hope to have a margarita or three before this is all over with. Luke, the bye week was nice, a little downtime and whatever, but obviously from an organizational standpoint, self-scouting, a little bit of rest, guys that are dinged up and all of that. But the interesting part, I think, for guys like you and me to talk about it on the eve of a Pittsburgh game, we could just talk about the game, would be the acquisitions during the period of time. And not just here, but, across the league. And I know we talked about that at length, and people could find that out at Baltimore Positive as well. But for the Ravens, there's another season of, we've added a couple of players. We've added some spice. We've added a little kick in our wide receiver room. We've added a pass rush. We've added a veteran guy who has connections to Calais Campbell. The whole deal that this is the next happy family. The second half of the show is about to open.
Well, you certainly hope so. And you don't always know how it's going to play out exactly. For every Marcus Peters, you might have another guy who comes in and doesn't make a dramatic impact. But I think the Ravens are certainly expecting that with the Yannick Ngakoue acquisition. We've talked about that at length. Made his practice debut. And even guys like Brandon Williams, Pernell McPhee was asked about him during a Zoom call in the middle of the week. And just had a big smile on his face. And think about it for a second. I mean, I'm not saying that Yannick Ngakoue takes Pernell McPhee's playing time. I think that would be way too simplistic to say that. But, you look at their unofficial depth chart, who's listed at rush linebacker now? It's Ngakoue and not Pernell McPhee. But it does speak to taking something that you could look at the pass rush, and we've talked about this. The numbers looked very, very good against Washington, Cincinnati, Philadelphia, three of the lesser offensive lines in the league. But knowing what happened against Kansas City, knowing you're going up against the Pittsburgh team on Sunday, that say what you want about the quality of their offensive line, but Ben Roethlisberger hasn't been sacked very much this year. I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that he gets the ball out quicker than anyone in the NFL at this point. But when you're talking about Pittsburgh, Tennessee, Kansas City in January, you want that pass rush. And Yannick Ngakoue gives them an opportunity to get pressure on the quarterback without maybe needing to rely on the blitz as much. So that one, I think, is very clear. The wild card in this, however, is Dez Bryant. I mean, honestly, it's nice for the Ravens to post the video and he's throwing up the X and guys are excited. And look, three-time Pro Bowl selection, He had three straight 1,200-yard seasons, but that was 2012 through 2014. This is a guy who hasn't played since the end of the 2017 season. As I threw out, Ness, Danny Woodhead has caught an NFL pass more recently than
Steve
Dez
Smith?
Bryant.
Steve Smith probably played more recently too, right? Does that sound right?
Well, no. Steve Smith retired after 2016.
16, so okay. Dez, no, I'm just trying to think how far back we're going here, because I'm like, that's a couple, three, 4 years ago now. Like, I'm thinking of the Jeremy Maclin types and who was running around here then. You know, Mike Wallace probably at that point, right?
Right, exactly. So, look, this is a – I don't even know if it's low risk. I think it's no risk. I mean, if Dez Bryant has any issues or any concerns about work ethic or attitude, anything like that, I think we'll be out of here very quickly. That's not really my concern whatsoever. I, you know, by all accounts and monitoring what this guy's done over the last couple of years, keep in mind he tore his Achilles, 2 days after signing with New Orleans a couple of years back. So he's been through a lot from a standpoint of getting this opportunity again. I'm just looking at it realistically that he's going to be 32 next week. He was someone that even in his final year or two in Dallas, going back 3 or 4 years ago, there were questions then about his ability to separate knee, foot, ankle issues at that point in time. Wasn't the fastest guy in the world anyway. He was a contested catch, physical type wide receiver, more so than someone that was going to run by you. How does all of that translate after not playing for a couple years in the NFL? We'll see. He's on the practice squad. The Ravens are not going to be required to bring him up to the 53-man roster unless they feel that he can help them. And let's be clear, I don't think anyone should be expecting him to be the Dez Bryant of 5 or 6 years ago. And I don't think anyone is if they're being realistic about it. But what this team needs, we've talked about it a lot. They have Marquise Brown. They have Mark Andrews. They need a number three option that you can point to and say, all right, that's a viable guy. Because quite frankly, they were hoping Miles Boykin would be that guy, and he hasn't been that guy to this point. And we've seen the miscommunication and he and Lamar Jackson not being on the same page. So if Dez Bryant can work his way back into football shape over the next couple weeks and potentially become a more viable number three, third down, contested catch, red zone kind of option for them. And look, that doesn't translate to catching 6 or 7 passes a game. That might translate to catching 3 or 4, but it might be a couple really key plays. It might be a touchdown in the red zone. It might be a 3rd and 9 where you throw it up. You know, Lamar Jackson throws it up to him in traffic.
Well, it might be that he wants to block his ass off at this point in his career, because Steve Smith did at the end.
Yeah, there might be some of that,
And so did Stokely. I mean, all of those guys that were in their 30s, they knew somebody. There was a prettier girl at the ball. They needed to be the smartest guy, the guy who was always in the right spot, getting people in the right spot, and knowing enough and having enough savvy that on 3rd and 6, they could get 3rd and 6.5, right?
Right. And I mean, clearly the comparisons are going to be drawn with some of the 30-something wide receivers they've brought in the past. I know Jimmy Smith was asked about it and said, you know, he's hoping he can have an Anquan Boldin kind of impact. I'd pump the brakes a little bit on that. But can
I was going to throw Boldin around as another guy that didn't mind blocking at the end, right? Like, literally.
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's just that he's been – it's such a long layoff. I mean, you're talking about a guy who hasn't played since the end of the 2017 season, and at that point there were questions about his ability to separate and, you know, separate enough that he can even make contested catches. I mean, at some point in time, you still have to, you know, be able to separate just enough, you know, just so there's a little bit of daylight for your quarterback. And, you know, what does that look like 3 years later? And I'll hear that he's worked hard. I know Lamar Jackson cited how he's looked on some Instagram videos. I mean, that's a big thing now. I mean, Marquise Brown made a, you know, there was all kinds of a hype around him after that in the off season. But, you know, what does that look like a few years later? He is only going to be 32 next week. So, you know, can you make the argument that he's healthier? You know, with the knee, the foot, the ankle, all the issues he had in Dallas. Sure, I'll hear that. But I know this is typically a game that's really difficult for 30-somethings as it is. And when you're talking about someone who hasn't done it for a few years, that's where I am skeptical. But
I love that you're 30-something now, you know, that you talk about it like that.
That's why I love Sam Cook so much. He's the only guy left on the roster who's older than me. So, but it is, it's one of those where, look, I mean, there's little to no risk. I don't know if I'd call it high reward. I think it can be moderate reward. And when you're talking about an offense that's trying to find another option, can Dez Bryant be that guy? I'll say maybe. I'd be lying to you if I sat here and said, yeah, Dez Bryant's going to be he's going to be the next veteran receiver to come in and make a big impact for the Ravens, because we know that, yeah, there's Anquan Boldin and Steve Smith, but there's also been Jeremy Maclin and Michael Crabtree, who guys that came in and didn't really make much of an impact. So we'll see how it plays out. And John Harbaugh did his best on Wednesday to really temper the expectations. He basically said, look, how many years has it been since he's played? Let's see how this plays out.
You know what's
out.
Interesting, dude? You start throwing names out, like, and those are more bigger names than wide receivers. But if you go through the spectrum, the vast spectrum of how many Andre Garrods and how many of those kinds of people that they've looked at over a decade at the end who came, Bryant McKinney was, you know, they had a lot of guys that just – come here at the end. Who was the guy from Cincinnati that came here for a minute or three, right? Didn't they have a lineman?
Willie Anderson.
Willie, right. So I'll
tell you the best comparison might be Deion Sanders, to be totally honest.
Okay, fair enough.
Deion hadn't played for a couple years, and then he comes in, and look, I mean, he couldn't stay on the field. He certainly wasn't the prime time of 1994. He had a couple moments for the Ravens, though. I mean, those were pretty – I don't want to say – 2005 was forgettable. 2004,
the linebacker
they were okay.
From Jacksonville that came in after Ray left. I want to say Al Smith, but that's not right because he was the Oiler linebacker.
Daryl Smith. I was thinking Smith. Before. Yeah, yeah.
Right? Yeah, there's another guy, right?
Yeah,
so
sure.
That they just brought in that did a nice job somewhere else, was on that 29, 30, 30, 31, something. Dion's another guy. I remember when Belichick would do that. When Belichick was always bring up Chad Brown, or you know, he brought in Anthony Pleasant back in the late 90s. I remember seeing him at the end of so he would bring in Rick Lyle was another one of those guys that you bring in and just have him around. The Ravens they do this, and this isn't unusual. And sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, it's unusual from the standpoint of not having played in the league for a couple years. I mean, some of these other guys we mentioned were certainly guys that were perceived to be on the decline, but it is a little bit different when you're talking about going from being on the decline statistically, as Dez was in 2016, 2017, you know, dealt with some injuries and the production wasn't what it was. And you know, that transition from Tony Romo to Dak Prescott certainly had some impact on him. I think that would be stating a pretty obvious kind of assessment there. But a couple years off, you know, what does that look like? What impact does that have on him physically? What does that impact does that have mentally? Coming in and certainly, yes, you know, you talk the right, say all the right things about wanting to win, but also knowing that, you know, if he's looking to reestablish himself to get a payday somewhere else, get a job somewhere else next March. Not sure he's going to have the volume that's really going to be all that impactful. I mean, again, I'd be shocked if he's being targeted 10, 11 times a game. I mean, I just don't think that, you know, I don't think the volume's going to be there, period, let alone for Dez Bryant. But can he come in and provide something that they haven't had? And that's some more impact on third down, playing in that Miles Boykin role. And to be clear, I still want to see Devin Duvernay getting some more snaps. So I don't want this to become a Dez Bryant gets activated in a couple weeks and at the expense of someone like Duvernay, who I think should get some more opportunities here. But it's intriguing. It's interesting. I'm certainly interested to see how it's going to play out. And maybe Dez Bryant doesn't have anything left, Nestor, but if it provides the proverbial kick in the pants that Miles Boykin might need. Not that I think Boykin hasn't worked hard. You know, I want to be clear about that. I don't think it's an effort thing for him. But if it's something that puts, you know, the right, a good kind of pressure on him to get him to step up, if it gets Devin Duvernay to step up, if it gets Willie Snead to step up, that's something they need because, you know, this passing game hasn't been good enough. It hasn't been as good as it was last year. And efficiency is the big word that I've talked about over and over and over going back to the offseason. We haven't seen that same efficiency. So is Dez Bryant going to be an efficiency guy? Probably not, but can he be a guy that could make some plays eventually for you on third down or inside the red zone? time will tell. The Ravens are certainly going to give him a look over the next couple weeks, and I'd be surprised if we see him against Pittsburgh. Certainly we'll see Ngakoue against the Steelers on Sunday. I'd be surprised if we see Dez that quickly, but I think it's clear the Ravens, having worked him out in August, having worked him out again, and now signing him to the practice squad, they're at least serious enough to explore this and see how he would fit in with the Lamar Jackson passing game.
He is Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke, and Luke at WNST.net. We have moved our whole operation from WNST.net over to Baltimore Positive, all with the support of an incredible cast of local businesses, people, humans, supporters, sponsors. We'll be telling you, I'm putting together an ice cream deal for your mom and your sister, Luke. And so everybody can get ice cream delivered for the holidays. We're going to be doing that. We'll be telling you more about that. Next week, they're mixing up an apple. What do they call it? Apple, crumb, oatmeal, something. I don't know. I'm mixing it up, and then we're going to do the eggnog. So our friends at the Harker Brothers have been coming on. Chris came on this week. They're also mixing up a chocolate stout. This is a new flavor called Black is Beautiful, and they're doing it with Monumental Brewing, and that's Friday night. So apparently I'm going to get a pint to go. Two of my favorite things, Luke, you know that. You've seen me imbibe some stout, chocolate and stout. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, right? Like, now all of a sudden you want some ice cream, right?
That's a good combination. I'm definitely envious there.
Our friends at Full Circle Tire and Auto, Dave's up in Harford County, making sure that, the temperature changed about 20 degrees here this week. Make sure your tires are up to snuff for the winter. Tires, and more tires. 38 brands in stock. Same-day service. They're always doing it right. They did your air condition back in the summer. They're going to make sure the heat, make sure the tires, make sure you're winterized where you need to be. 410-676-CARS. 410-676-CARS. You can like them out on Facebook. Full Circle Tire and Auto. You see me wear the shirt from time to time. Fadley's still delivering the crab cakes. That's all over the website at the Baltimore Positive. One click away, you can deliver crab cakes. Decide when you want them delivered, where you want them delivered. One click. Thanksgiving, Christmas, holiday special event, or hey, just the football game because the Ravens are playing the Steelers this week. You can send those Fadley's crab cakes anywhere. Sporticulture, I wear the hat and I have the magma lamp. The magma's getting a little out of control here. It looks like a purple storm for the Pittsburgh Steelers. You can order the magma lamp. I have a Maryland magma lamp on. That's on the lo-fi here this week after what happened last week. But you can order any team you wish, and they really are in the flower business. My pal Court has been doing flowers better than anybody out toward Frederick, Walnut Springs. Wonderful people, great family, and he's a sports guy. He's an Oilers fan. He really is a Ravens fan, who's a Ravens season ticket holder, PSL guy, who did this NFL licensing deal, and he comes on a couple times a year. He's a little shy because he's a flower guy. He's a horticulturist, as I say. And my wife and I go out there, and all the smells of the flowers in the springtime. So Sporticulture, good people, local people, take care of them. And I tell you what, Luke will be having a box lunch this week in the press box. I will be having a chicken box with Western fries. You know, Luke, I never read the side of the box. Do you ever read the side of the box? Because I know you're too busy eating the tenders. I never have read this. I'm going to read this on the air because I saw this at like 4 o'clock this morning because I go with a lighter light in here when I work. I'm working on the website a little bit. I don't know if you know or not. The tasty difference begins with the bird. Ours are always fresh, never frozen, and bigger and meatier than most. Should put this in an ad. I think I read this about 10 years ago. Following the same family recipe we've used for more than 15 years, each piece is lightly breaded and pressure cooked on the spot and trans fat free. I don't say that enough. Trans fat free. Maybe that's why it tastes so good. That's the freshness of Royal Farms famous chicken, guaranteed. And it says here the small box. See that? I'm not getting the small box on Sunday. I'm going to get the big box on Sunday. So have at it. For you with this game and the significance and all of that, and we talk so much about the passing game for the offense. Give me a thought from you on what this needs to look like for Lamar for you to start feeling better. Because we didn't want him to run, and now all he does is run, right? I mean, or he doesn't run anymore, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've always struggled with this conversation. We've talked about this before. I mean, yeah, from a long-term, long-view perspective, you don't want Lamar Jackson running 20 sometimes. I think back to his first start against the Bengals. You don't want something like that. However, at the same time, he and his legs specifically, and I'm taking nothing away from him as a quarterback, as a passer, he more than validated his ability last year in that regard when you lead the league in touchdown passes. But what truly makes him special is what? His legs. I mean, it is. Let's not shy away from that. Let's embrace that. Let's recognize that. Let's praise that. But how do you marry that with your long-term view, but also with what's going to be the best way that you're trying to win in 2020? The best way you're trying to win in 2021, probably. You know, we can talk about 3, 4, 5 years down the road when we get to that point. But when you look at how this team is currently constructed, I do look at the rushing totals for him. I mean, he's averaging just under 7 yards a carry again. But certainly we haven't seen him rush as frequently. And I thought the win in Philadelphia was a reminder of just how special that element can be, even if he's only carrying it 9 or 10 times. But I certainly like seeing that more as far as what it does for the offense than seeing him only carry it a couple times like he did against Cincinnati. And look, I mean, the circumstances of that, the need in practice over the course of that week other than Friday, that's fine. I thought that was an anomaly. But for this offense to really get back to being on the smooth level that we saw it last year, where it was just clicking, they were marching up and down the field at will. There were games where Sam Cook wasn't even punting. To see that kind of performance again, one, it's going to be very difficult to do it at that efficient level. I've talked about this a lot, about some of the regression that I thought was natural. But I think you do need to embrace Lamar running a little bit more. And I think you're going to see that. I fully expect that. Not even so much talking about Sunday, but just the rest of the way. Because I think that's something that their running game needs even at this point. Because Marshall Yanda is not coming through that door 65 pounds heavier and saying, I want a shot at a second Super Bowl ring. So you're going to have that issue with Tyree Phillips or Patrick McCary or whomever is lining up at right guard. And you're hoping to get improvement there. You're hoping to get some more consistency there, but that's going to be part of it. So, you know, as far as what it needs to look like, I mean, against Pittsburgh specifically, they have such a tough defensive front. And, you know, we've talked about some of the other tough defensive lines they've gone up against. You know, for my money, they might be the best one that they're going to face all year. And they're a team that's been really good against the run. So if you look at how they've profiled against opposing offensive lines, knowing that that's not a major strength for the Ravens, and then understanding that they've shut down other teams' running games, you know, look what they, you know, Derrick Henry didn't go off and have a monster game. Had his moments, especially in the second half of that game on Sunday, but you know, certainly they did a good job slowing him down. So what's the element that's a little bit different for the Ravens? It's going to have to be Lamar Jackson. And, you know, I'm not saying he has to run it 18 times on Sunday for the Ravens to win, but I think that's going to have to be a factor because I'm not so sure that the Ravens are going to find success, as we've talked about at other times this year, running between the tackles with their running backs. I mean, I just think this is a really tough defensive front. I mean, Pittsburgh and the Ravens, their defenses are very similar as a results, you know, from a results-based perspective, but their strengths are different. The Ravens are the secondary. Pittsburgh, it's their front, that defensive line. So I think we're going to see more Lamar Jackson running. I think it's going to be, you know, the rest of the way similar to what it looked like last year. And, you know, it's not like Lamar ran it 19, 20 times every single game, but, you know, I think we're going to see more of that because I think that's the dynamic factor that's going to get the running game going a little bit more efficiently. And I think that will open things up more on the passing side.
I think if you come back to me on Sunday night, we're doing the Monday radio, election week, the whole thing. The win or lose will be, how many times are they in 2nd and 2 and 2nd and 3? Because my guess is probably not a lot against that front, to your point. Great, great football game on Sunday. Few of you will attend. Luke will attend. I will watch. We'll be out on Twitter and social and Facebook and all of those places and out at Baltimore Positive. Luke, appreciate the report, man. Now wash your hands, wear a mask. We'll hopefully have a happy news, good news final, okay?
Yeah, enjoy the game on Sunday.
You got it, Luke Jones. All that brought to you by our friends at Planet Fitness, as well as our friends at the Pizza Johns. We got sponsors all around the area. They're all up now at Baltimore Positive. We highly encourage you to support them. They've helped us make the transition from WNST.net out to what we are now, which is Baltimore Positive. And some football talk, too.